Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Our guest this week is Andy North, who we're lucky enough to snag during preparation for the Masters. Andy is a two-time U.S. Open champion and a golf analyst for ESPN and a devout Wisconsin Badgers fan like myself. Andy, before we get to the Masters, the big hot button issue in golf right now is Lexi Thompson getting assessed a penalty a day later after a viewer called in a rules infraction. How do you feel about in golf that viewers are able to impact rules and regulations like this in a way that they're not able to with any other sport?
I don't like it at all. First of all, what Lexi did, she mismarked her ball. There probably was an error done there that needed to be been a penalty. But just because she did it on TV and I'm playing on some other part of the golf course and do the exact same thing, why should she be penalized and I wouldn't be just because no one saw what I did? It's an honorable game. We want to have things done correctly, but to have somebody outside, supposedly whoever your playing partners are supposed to be the people that are able to make sure that things are done right, and that's why we sign scorecards, but to have somebody call in and affect a championship or any event and have it happen a day later, it makes absolutely no sense. And then on top of that, yes, she deserved the penalty, but if she'd have known she got that penalty yesterday or the day before, she'd have signed the correct card. So I don't like the fact that, one, that the viewers are calling in, two, that you have a situation to where you're penalized for signing a bad card when if the penalty would have been assessed before you signed it, you would have done it properly. So there's a lot of stuff going on here that I think makes us look silly from a sports standpoint.
It's you can't even imagine a viewer calling in a rules infraction to the NFL or the NBA or MLB. What was the reason that this was originally allowed, and why, given that it's caused multiple controversies in recent years, why don't they just amend the rules of the game and make it so that there's no more hotline and the golfers regulate themselves, and then there are people involved with the tournament who are in charge of this type of thing, but in no way can a viewer impact a major like this?
Well, I think it's crazy that they accept calls. Why would you accept a call from somebody watching? It makes no sense to me. And there's nothing in the rules that says this is something that should happen. Let's just don't answer the telephone. And think about the average guy sitting in his couch and he sees something happen. How do they get to talk to somebody? It's got to be about four or five different phone calls to get to where you can get somebody. It makes no sense. I mean, the people in the rules trailer don't need to answer the phone, period.
That seems to be a sensible idea. Let's move on to the Masters. Who is your pick to win the tournament this week?
Well, I have not made a pick yet. Looking at, Dustin Johnson, obviously, dominant player right now, playing great. He's had some success at the Masters the last couple of years. His short game has improved unbelievably over the last couple of years. He's on a confidence high. Then you look at the Jordan Spieth, who finished second here. His last three starts, obviously he had the problem at 12 last year, but he comes in here knowing the golf course, playing it really well. Jason Day. There's a ton of guys really playing well, so it's going to be an interesting week. You know, and the guy that I always get a kick out of here is Phil. I mean, it doesn't matter how he's playing. He drives down Magnolia Lane, and all of a sudden, you know, the switch goes on, and he plays great. So this is a golf course that if you come in on form, that's good, and if you have history here, that's good, and there's a lot of people that fall in that category.
Ricky Fowler is looking for his first major. Do you think he's got any chance this week?
Yeah, he definitely does. I mean, Ricky's a type of player that when he gets it going, the biggest thing for Ricky is his putting. If he puts well, he usually does exceptionally well. He hasn't had great success here. You know, he has length. People don't understand how long Ricky can hit it. But he's one of that group of, you know, 10 or 12 guys that you'd think the winner would come out of.
What about John Rahm? He's a star in the making. How do you see his chances?
He really is. You know, we haven't had a lot of first-timers who have won here. Fuzzy being the last one, I believe. So, you know, it's a situation to where knowledge, local knowledge here is really important. But he is really a good player. What he's done in the last 4 months is amazing. He's gone from, 140th or something in the world rankings into the top 20 now. He has length. He has swagger. He's won a lot, and won a lot as an amateur in college. So he knows how to win. He likes to win. He's a guy that I wouldn't put it by him if he contends this week.
What about Rory McIlroy? How do you see his week going?
Well, Rory had the injury early in the year. We really don't know exactly what kind of form he's on, but there's some pressure on him to win the Masters, to complete the Grand Slam. He is a guy that the golf course fits perfectly. It's a big, high draw. When he gets putting well, he's more of a streaky guy, and I think that's the bottom line, is can he putt the ball well enough to win here? I think he can, but I think it's just a matter of, you know, he either gets real hot or he doesn't make any at all, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten this far without mentioning him, but Tiger Woods withdrew from the tournament last week. The last couple years have not been good for him, and that's putting it lightly. If you had to make a bet right now, it's 4-1 odds. You bet 25 and you win 100 if he wins another PGA Tour tournament. Would you make that bet, or do you think that there's a less than 25% chance of him ever winning another tournament?
Well, I've always been on the side that I think he will, but it's getting to the point that you wonder if his back is ever going to work the way he needs it to work to win out here. I thought that, you know, he'd heal up through this, and then it's just a matter of, you know, Father Time affecting his play. But I thought early in the year when he came out to San Diego, I liked the way he was what he was trying to do in his golf swing to take some pressure off of his back. I liked the fact that he was hitting the ball pretty darn well. And then all of a sudden it just doesn't work. And that's the problem with when you've had multiple surgeries on a back, you just never know how it's going to react. It can be good for 5 or 6 days, and then one day you can't get out of bed. So I'm not so sure that he'll ever get healthy enough to play. I'd like to see it happen, but I'm not sure. And I don't think, and that's a scary thing to him, is that he doesn't know.
Yeah, no, it's got to be just terrible to deal with, because he's somebody who, for the first X years of his life, controlled everything in a game that just mind boggles everybody else who plays. He was able to play it on like a different plane of existence than the rest of his competitors, and now he doesn't know whether his body's ever going to hold up for him to be able to do that again.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the most difficult thing for a player who's coming off an injury, and you rehab and you work and you get stronger and you hit balls and you do all that stuff and you're working really hard, and then you think you've got it, you think you've gotten over the hurdle, and you're pretty good for 3 or 4 days, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't, your back doesn't work one day, and that's so discouraging. And you know, how many times can a guy emotionally and mentally keep coming back and having to deal with this? That's going to be the issue.
Definitely. As far as sleepers go, who's somebody who isn't maybe as big of a name and we haven't really mentioned yet that you think could have a chance to emerge and be competing to win on Sunday?
Well, I think there's a reasonable amount of those kind of guys. I mean, if you look at a guy like Alex Noren, a European that is very quietly the 10th ranked player in the world, you know, no one will even mention his name this week. As you mentioned, John Rahm earlier, you know, he's an amazing, amazing young player. And then Kid Sergio finally won a major. Can Henrik Stenson get his act together? Terrell Hatton is a player that's played some amazing golf in Europe and has played some very, very good golf. So there's a bunch of those kind of guys that are totally off the radar, but they're playing well enough that, you know, it's just all about playing well this week. It doesn't matter what you've done or how many times you've been here. If you can come out here and play well, you've got a chance to win. And I think there's a bunch of those guys that could sneak up there and get it done.
One of the things that's always cool about the Masters broadcast is when they go over ways that various holes have changed versus last year or maybe years in the past. What are some, as you've gotten to Augusta, what are some of the things you've observed that throw a kink into anybody's maybe pre-existing strategy?
Well, the golf course really hasn't changed very much over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, they made the big changes, about 8 years ago. 10 years ago when they added a bunch of length. The big things they've done this year have been around the property. The new media center press area is just absolutely astounding. Amazing. They've redone some other buildings. And every time you come here, for example, this morning I went and registered early this morning and couldn't find it. They'd redone the buildings. I didn't have any idea where I was supposed to go. And, you know, been coming here for 40 years. But there's that kind of stuff. But they do things here in such amazing way. They can build things in 6 months here that take years, you know, if you're doing it at home someplace. It's astonishing the quality of the product they put forth here. And it's always a ball to come here and see what they've done.
I've never been to Augusta, but being in the media, people have always marveled about the press center there. What are some of the amenities of the new building that you just mentioned?
Well, I haven't actually spent any time over there yet, but the fact that it's supposed to be absolutely amazing, from workstations to media stuff to video, it's got everything you could possibly want. They do such a great job taking care of the media here. And you can see the love the media gives to this event, and it's fantastic.
I want to switch now to talk about our Wisconsin Badgers. You grew up in Wisconsin. You've been watching them play for decades. I went to Wisconsin, so I'm not too steeped in the history pre-2005, but I've been watching pretty diligently for the last decade plus. Do you remember, I was sitting near you at the Wisconsin-Kentucky game in 2015, and I walked up to you at halftime when it was 36-36, and I was like, I think we got a chance to win. Do you have any recollection of that conversation?
Yeah, that was possibly one of the great games that will happen in the school's history to break the run that Kentucky had. And our guys really wanted Kentucky from after losing to them the year before, and that was really a wonderful run. And anytime you get to the Final Four, and get a chance to beat the team that knocked you out the year before is pretty special.
I agree, but then there was the game against Duke where it seemed like they had it in hand, and then Grayson Allen came off the bench and went on a tear, and I don't think I'm ever going to forgive him for depriving that group of players from winning a national championship, because they were really special.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, that maybe the guys in the striped shirts helped Duke's cause a little bit that evening too.
I think you're remembering accurately. When I Wisconsin, when they play some of these schools that are traditional powers and they might be outmatched athletically, it's really tough when they get into these games and there are a lot of touch fouls that are called against them, because they, in order to make up some the gap that they have against like the Dukes and Kentuckys of the world, they really need to be able to get away with at least a little bit of physicality.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at, sometimes the games don't get officiated based on what the rule book says. And I think that's what's frustrating to coaches. And they, you see that happen a lot. And if you're allowed your position on the floor and some guy runs over you, as what's become kind of the modern year of basketball, where the perimeter players just take put their head down and just make a run to the rim, and you just run over people, you know, you've got your space, you've got your position. Why isn't that a foul on the offense? But that's not how they call it anymore. And Wisconsin has done a really good job of trying to wall up defensively over the years and create, make it difficult for a player to do that coming to the basket. And if the officials call every single foul on the defense when that happens, there's nothing you can do. And I think that frustrates the coaches around the country right now.
Have you ever had a game with like a range of emotions, like the loss last weekend against Florida, where Showalter hit that improbable three to force overtime, and then they lost on that buzzer beater that was even more improbable than Showy's shot?
Yeah, that was, you know, one, it was, if you weren't totally invested in either one of the teams, that was a fantastic game to be sitting at home watching. But when you are invested, you know, it's difficult. You know, we were down. We made a great run to get to overtime with Choi making the three. And then to think you had it completely under control and have a slip away at the end. I mean, it's, but, you know, welcome to sports. That's why, you know, if you don't like that kind of feeling or that kind of emotion, then go do something else. Don't get involved in sports, because you're going to have that. And, you know, that's the fun thing. It's always hard on the losers, but in every contest, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, and unfortunately, you're going to be in the wrong end of that enough times. But, you know, over the last 15 to 18 years, we've been pretty fortunate, Wisconsin, to have a lot of those positive feelings after games like that.
Totally. And yeah, you've been watching these games going back really your whole life. Could you have envisioned pre-1990 the type of powerhouses that the football and basketball player programs would become?
Not really. Not honestly. You know, maybe you'd have a year or two that were good, but not sustainable like we've had over the last 20 years. I mean, if you look at over the, I think there's been some actually stats done that if you look at NCAA basketball invites and in major bowl games, there's no school in the country that's been in as many as we have been over the last 15 to 20 years. And that's pretty strong that, you know, usually there's so many of these programs that have great basketball or great football, but very few are great in both, and we've been able to do that. And that's pretty special to see the wonderful things that are being done on campus, volleyball, soccer, you know, hockey. There's so many other things going on, and the success rate has been fantastic at a school that's, you know, very tough academically. So, you know, that's something to be really proud of.
If the television cameras are to be believed, it seems like you've struck up a little friendship with Aaron Rodgers over the past several years, sitting next to him at some of these games. Is he somebody that you keep in touch with other than like sitting at NCAA tournament games with him, or are you just able to kind of pick up where you left off in those occasions?
Well, we've been very fortunate to become good friends with Aaron. He has really supported my event, Andy North and Friends, to raise money for Carbone Cancer Center over the last 8-9 years. And, you know, because of that, we've spend a little time, play some golf once in a while, and it's always fun to hang out with him.
Yeah, you mentioned your charity tournament. I was going to ask you about that. So I read that you've raised over $8 million over the years and over $1 million last year. Can you tell our listeners about this tournament and the cause?
Well, basically, I've been involved and been on the advisory board of the Carbone Cancer Center for about 20 years or so. And we decided that my wife and I, that we should do something to help raise money for the cancer center. So we started this event 9 years ago. This will be the ninth coming up in June. And just to, you know, try to raise not only awareness, but also some money. And we've been blown away by the support of the Madison community in the area, that the number of people who have jumped on board and have been just awesome, that have been back year after year, and to allow us to raise, you know, just about $8 million in the first 8 years that we've done this. So it's been a true love for us to do it. At the same time, it's been great to see that we've been able to raise some money and make a difference in a lot of people's lives through research. And basically all the money we raise goes to research. So, you know, we're doing some great things and changing some people's lives, and that's wonderful.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I understand if you don't want to answer this question, but do you think that next year would be an appropriate amount of time to have passed to bring back Bo Ryan at the Kohl Center and honor him for an evening?
You know, that's all in the university's hands. You know, what Bo did at the university was amazing. He changed the way people looked at our basketball program, and he's done an unbelievable job, and getting into the Hall of Fame in Kansas City is a huge honor. So I suspect at some point in time something will be done.
Okay. Is there anything that we didn't talk about, either with golf or the Masters or the Badgers, that you think is important to discuss on this platform now?
Well, I think we hit it pretty decently, but I think, you know, everybody gets concerned when you graduate four seniors, as we did this year. It's going to be very interesting. This incoming class is really talented. The three young men coming in are really good kids, and it's been fun to watch them in high school, and it'll be interesting to see how they do once they get to the university.
I think there will be some hiccups, but hopefully maybe this year is like a little bit of a bridge year, and Hap will continue to improve. And if he comes back as a fifth-year senior and this incoming talented class that you just mentioned has developed for a year, I think that they could return to really threatening to win a national championship if they get the breaks.
Well, I think you're right there. And I would, you know, there's been a lot of years people were wondering, you know, what are they going to do when all these guys leave? Well, They seem to figure out. Coach Gard's got a really good handle on all the things going on Wisconsin basketball, and I would think that they'll surprise a few people next year like they do every year. We'll be picked to be in the bottom part of the league, and you know, maybe we'll finish in the top four again for the 18th straight year, whatever it's been. So we'll see what happens. That's the fun thing about sports.
And then last question before we let you go, how many pimento cheese sandwiches are you going to eat this week in Augusta?
I will have zero.
Zero?
I am not a pimento cheese guy.
What's your indulgence?
They've got some really good fried chicken sandwiches. They've got some really good egg salad. But I'm not a pimento cheese.
Interesting. That's almost devastating.
Sacrilegious, I guess, but yeah, so...
Being from Wisconsin and being a big golf guy, I'm very surprised by that. But I guess you can't help how your body responds to various things that you put into it.
You got that right.
Thank you so much, Andy. I really enjoyed speaking to you.
See you later.
Best of luck this week. We'll hopefully talk again down the road.
Appreciate it. You got it. See ya.
Bye.
if I don't notice you. Familiar touch turns stranger. Will you notice if I don't notice you? Familiar touch turns stranger.